Thursday, January 10th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And if you are tired of the same old sports talk, just the arguments, the callers calling in, forgetting to turn down their volume, yelling into their phones, just hang out here for a while. You're going to like it a little bit better. You know, we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We'd rather just laugh at a lot of the sports world. We do like to actually look back at some sports history now and then, too. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Thursday to you. You know, we do have a little bit of sports history on this day, boys and girls, because back on January 10th, 1982, the catch took place when Dwight Clark made that fingertip catch for the touchdown from Joe Montana. Under a minute left to play, and the San Francisco 49ers beat the Dallas Cowboys in the 1981 NFC Championship game. Now, we know that win kind of propelled the 49ers and head coach Bill Walsh into a dynasty. It did also change the NFL in the process because Walsh brought the league from that old school I formation, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, double tight end offense to the West Coast offense. And what Bill Walsh wanted to do, he wanted to spread the field horizontally. He wanted to use quick, short passes as his running game and then let his wide receivers take off with those. Now, that was nearly 40 years ago that Joe Montana perfected that offensive scheme. And look where we have gotten today. I mean, now we have quarterbacks like Blake Bortles and Andy Dalton or Josh Allen or Jameis Winston. They don't so much stretch the field vertically. Well, they don't really stretch it horizontally either. They actually stretch the field more backwardly, and a lot of times they throw it to players that aren't on their teams. Oh, how far we have come. Hey, if you'd like to contact the show, tell us your favorite game in NFL history. Maybe it was the catch, or maybe it was the drive, or I don't know, maybe it was the tuck, or the holy roller, whatever. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us over on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at dailydosports. You've got a suggestion. If you've got some feedback for the show, feel free to reach out. We would love to hear it. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com where you can pick up some Daily Dose gear. I know their name is tpublic, but it's not just t-shirts. You can get t-shirts there with our Daily Dose logo on them, but there are also sweatshirts, cell phone covers, laptop covers, a number of items over at tpublic.com. So make sure you stop by there. Hey, we've got a lot to get to today. As usual, we do have a number of things coming out in the world of sports news. But then, you know, as we've done all week, we've been talking about college football. I know the season just ended on Monday night, but today on the Daily Dose, we've got a number of awards to hand out. Got a lot of deserving people in the world of college football. We are going to be recognizing them today. Let's start off with some breaking news, though, because another day and another few head coaches hired yesterday. The Denver Broncos reached an agreement with Chicago Bears defensive coordinator Vic Fangio to become the team's next head coach. Fangio is going to receive a 4-year contract that does include a team option for a 5th year. The 60-year-old Vic Fangio interviewed for the Bears head coaching job last offseason, but then agreed to return as defensive coordinator instead because he wanted to work alongside first-year head coach Matt Nagy. Fangio has coached a total of 32 years in the NFL. He has been in Baltimore, Houston, Indianapolis, Carolina, and New Orleans. Hey, Denver. Thrilling hire. I almost stayed awake during the press release. You know, and I'm actually thinking that Fangio probably improves the Broncos at least marginally just because of his toughness, just because of the discipline he would bring. But I also have a feeling that the only reason he was hired is because he agreed to allow Gary Kubiak to stay on as offensive coordinator. I don't know what the fascination is with Gary Kubiak's offense. I really don't. I saw when they tried to force it upon Peyton Manning. I've never been less impressed. Yeah, I guess Fangio will probably be a little bit better than Vance Joseph, if that's what you're going for. Honestly, they probably should have just kept Vance Joseph one more year, tanked, and tried to just draft Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence. That probably would have been a better idea. Instead, we're going to go with Vic Fangio and see if he can't do something with this team. There's only so much you can do. There's not that much talent. One other coaching hire, the Cleveland Browns are going to hire Freddie Kitchens to be their 18th coach in team history. Kitchens, they say, earned the job with his work as interim offensive coordinator for these last 8 games of the 2018 season. They say that he got along really well with rookie quarterback Baker Mayfield, and that is why they promoted him. Hey, Kitchens doesn't have a ton of experience, but they felt like they didn't want to lose him. So during the interview process, they actually denied him permission to talk to other teams about maybe going and be an offensive coordinator somewhere else. And then the Browns hired Kitchens and let interim coach and defensive coordinator Greg Williams go. How does Greg Williams feel today? Like, he did have the Browns actually winning a few games down the stretch. I can't imagine he is thrilled with the Cleveland Browns. I believe he thought he had a good shot at maybe winning that job. Wasn't quite enough. They're going to take Kitchens, the offensive coordinator, instead. And in college football, Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts took an important step toward possibly leaving Alabama. He entered his name and his information into the NCAA transfer portal. Now, we kind of forget this, but Jalen Hurts is only a junior. So he does have 1 year of eligibility left. And since he already graduated last month, he could transfer and play right away. Now, just because he entered the transfer portal doesn't mean he's necessarily going to go, but he could, and now he can get some feedback on teams that would be interested in taking him. When I look at the commitment that Jalen Hurts has showed these past few years, when I look at his ability to come in and lead an offense, when you see what he did in the SEC championship, hey, I'd take Jalen Hurts in a minute. I think that is a kid that is going to come in. He is going to work hard. He is going to have the right kind of attitude. He's not going to whine and be a complainer and be a distraction. If I am a program out there that maybe feels like, hey, we're just a player or two away and maybe a quarterback away from being a contender, oh yeah, I sign up real fast to get Jalen Hurts because I think he absolutely brings some of the qualities that you need in your college football program. The job he did this last year at Alabama, and I know he didn't get on the field much, but I would absolutely jump at the chance to take that kid. Hey, coming back, we are going to be handing out a few college football awards right now. Who were the best players and who is going to win some of our, you know, special Daily Dose awards that we hand out? We've got awards for the Heisman. What about the Coach of the Year? Got a number of things we are going to give out when we get back. So the 2018 college football season is now over. And you know, we started off this season expecting it to be Alabama and Clemson playing for it all. And in the end, well, it was Alabama and Clemson playing for it all. But while the top two teams might not have changed one single bit, we did have a number of other surprises throughout the season. I mean, think back to some of the things that we saw along the way this year. We saw, once again, Hurricanes wreaking havoc on some early season games. I don't know. If I were an athletic director, I think I might start moving where I schedule games for in the fall. I don't want them down in that, you know, southeast area. Every single year, it seems like we have hurricanes knocking those things out. We saw the Nebraska Cornhuskers get off to a historically horrible start before they finally figured things out and started to maybe show some signs of life. We actually saw the University of Colorado get off to a really good start. Remember, they were even ranked in the top 25 for a minute? Granted, they did it against bad competition. And then their opponents started to figure them out. And by the end of it, they were firing their head coach and completely imploding. We saw upsets. We saw surprises. In fact, in the final week of the college football season this year, 11 of the top 25 teams got beat in that week. So it was a very interesting college football season. Let's hand out a few awards to some very deserving people this year. And where else could we start but with the most important position on the field? Because hey, we know the quarterback handles the football on every single play. They distribute the ball to the players all over the field, but you don't get it without a good quarterback giving it to them. And we had a number of really good quarterbacks this season in college football. We talked about them yesterday. Some of the first-year starters stepped right in and ran with the job. Here's a couple of nominees that I would look at for the best quarterback of the year. Clemson freshman Trevor Lawrence leads the Clemson Tigers to the national championship after just taking over a few games into the season. Very impressive. Ohio State's Dwayne Haskins threw for 50 touchdowns. No question, Dwayne Haskins, one of the best quarterbacks this year. Oklahoma's Kyler Murray, he just took over right where Baker Mayfield left off. Kyler Murray threw for 4,300 yards, Oh, and by the way, he also rushed for 1,000 himself. But I'm actually not going to give our Daily Dose Best Quarterback of the Year award to any of those guys. I am going to give it to West Virginia quarterback Will Grier. He led the Mountaineers to an 8-3 record. He threw for 3,800 yards and 37 touchdowns. You know, I do think if Will Grier finds the right situation, he can absolutely play in the NFL. Kid is a gamer. I like what he does. A lot of times when a play breaks down, we see Will Grier step in and make the right plays. He led West Virginia to the Camping World Bowl, and in that game, Will Grier threw for... Will Grier didn't actually play in that game. Okay. He sat out to get ready for the NFL, but whatever. Will Grier is our quarterback of the year. Okay, let's move on to our running back of the year. And I know that running backs have not been as valued as they were in the past. In recent years, we look at the NFL and we've started to see a little bit of a resurgence, but for a while there, we were seeing most running backs just being completely forgotten in the NFL. I don't know who their running back is. Who cares? This past year, we've started to see NFL running backs make an appearance. Like, we're looking at running backs and going, no, you're a key component to that offense. And college football this year has a few players that could be very good in the NFL next. Wisconsin's Jonathan Taylor led the nation in rushing. He had nearly 2,200 yards. Travis Etienne racked up 24 touchdowns for the Clemson Tigers, including, don't forget, he had 2 touchdowns in that national championship game. And Kentucky running back Benny Snell carried the Wildcats to what may have been the best season in Kentucky Wildcats football history. But our Daily Dose Running Back of the Year award, it is going to Michigan's Caron Higdon. He ran for 1,200 yards, he had 10 touchdowns, and he helped the Michigan Wolverines put together that 10-game winning streak through the middle of the season. And during that streak, Caron Higdon ran for over 100 yards in 7 of those 10 games. He is a strong runner. Of course, Michigan went to the Peach Bowl. Yes, they lost to the Florida Gators, but hey, that's not Higdon's fault. He didn't play in that game because he was actually, well, sitting out getting ready for the NFL. Okay, so who could be our Daily Dose wide receiver of the year? Hey, with the passing game now such a focal point both in college and the NFL, wide receivers today, they are household names. Think of kids today. Who's their favorite player right now? So many kids are like, oh, Odell Beckham Jr. Really? But wide receivers are getting all the publicity these days. So let's take a look at some of the best wide receivers in college football this year. Because Purdue's Rondale Moore, he led the nation in receptions. Kid had 114 receptions this year. Oklahoma's Marquise Brown, kid is a burner. He averaged nearly 18 yards every single time he touched it. And I know he doesn't get as much recognition nationally as maybe he should have, but I'll tell you right now, Colorado's Laviska Shenault, he is going to be playing on Sundays. He caught 86 passes, had over 1,000 yards, and also had 5 rushing touchdowns. That kid's just a football player. Dude is an absolute stud. But I'm not going to give our Daily Dose wide receiver of the year to any of those guys, because I am going to give it to Arizona State's Keneal Harry. They call him Keneal the Real Deal. Some call him Dirty Harry because of the filthy catches he comes up with. If you haven't seen him, I'm telling you, go to YouTube and find this kid. He absolutely attacks the football in the air. He's going to be playing on Sundays. No question about that. Which is why, well, actually, he sat out the Sun Devils Las Vegas bowl game because he wanted to focus on getting ready for the NFL combine and, you know, the NFL draft and all those things. So, no, he didn't play in the bowl game, but I'm telling you, Keneal Harry, very, very good wide receiver. Let's move over to the defensive side of the ball, because I know offense gets all of the attention. And offense does. It wins games. But don't forget, defense wins championships. Let's take a look at the best defensive players in college football this year, and let's start on the defensive line. And wow, do we have some studs to choose from this year on the defensive line in college football. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. If your favorite NFL team needs defensive line help, yeah, this year is going to be your year, because there is going to be some depth to draft on the defensive line, specifically at the defensive tackle. First off, Clemson's Christian Wilkins, he was absolutely dominant. He even had to pick his game up a little bit when teammate Dexter Lawrence got suspended for that PED suspension or whatever that was. Christian Wilkins helps lead the Clemson Tigers to the national title. In that national title game, he faces another great defensive lineman, Alabama's Quinnen Williams. He registered on the year 66 tackles, and there's a good chance he could be the top pick in the NFL draft. But I'm actually going to give our Daily Dose Award to Houston defensive lineman Ed Oliver. No, he wasn't as productive this year as last year. But hey, dude might be the most talented defensive lineman in college football. He had 54 tackles and he had 3 sacks. Not playing defensive end, no. Playing defensive tackle. No, I know he didn't play in Houston's Armed Forces Bowl, but that was probably for the best when you look back at it, because Houston got beat 70-14 by Army. But hey, that's not on Ed Oliver. He wasn't even there, so you can't blame him for any of that. Okay, let's move on to linebacker. And linebacker is one of those positions that gets overlooked a lot of the times. But if you don't have good linebackers, it is going to be really, really apparent. It's one of the toughest positions out there to play. You've got to be able to run like a defensive back. You've got to be a tackling machine, making tackles all over the field. You've got to take on giant offensive linemen trying to get to that next level and take your head off. We did see a number of really talented linebackers in college football this year. Hey, Kentucky linebacker Josh Allen proved he can do everything. He had 88 tackles this season. He also had 17 sacks this season. Amazing year from Josh Allen. LSU's Devin White had 123 tackles, 3 sacks, and 3 forced fumbles. Again, just a tackling machine, making plays all over the field. But hey, if we are going to give out an award for linebacker of the year, it's gotta be the class of this linebacker class. It's got to go to Ohio State's Nick Bosa, because prior to getting injured with that torn abdominal muscle, he was on track to have like 40 sacks. He was making sacks through those first few games. He was absolutely dominating opposing offenses. But then he did get hurt. And then, well, he announced he wasn't going to come back to Ohio State because, again, he really wanted to get ready for that NFL combine, I guess. But hey, they're still talking that maybe Nick Bosa could still be the number one player taken in the 2019 NFL draft. Nick Bosa is our college football linebacker of the year. Let's move on to defensive backs. And defensive backs are definitely also in the spotlight these days. With the passing game being what it is, and with all the rules tilted in favor of the offense, and specifically the passing game, hey, defensive backs have to come to play. If you don't, you're going to get lit up in this era. And we do have a number of great college football defensive backs to choose from this season. Andre Sisco at Syracuse had 7 interceptions. Wasn't just a pass defender. He also made 60 tackles. I always like those defensive backs that can come up and tackle. If all you're doing is just covering, that's great. But at some point, you've got to be a football player. You've got to come up and actually help against the run. Hey, Andre Sisco at Syracuse absolutely did that. Notre Dame's Julian Love was no question the heart and soul of that Irish defense. He made 63 tackles. He defended 16 passes. We all saw when Julian Love got hurt in that bowl game against Clemson, Notre Dame just fell apart. That was the guy they all looked to for leadership. They all looked to for guidance. When they lost Julian Love, they had no chance against Clemson. I don't think they had a chance against Clemson anyway, but losing Love was really, really big, and that definitely hurt Notre Dame. But I'm not going to go with either one of those guys for our defensive back of the year this year. Not on the Daily Dust. No. Our defensive back of the year award goes to LSU's Greedy Williams. He had 33 tackles. He defended 9 passes, and he did make 2 interceptions. And again, Greedy Williams is expected to be a top pick in the draft, which is obviously why he skipped the LSU Tigers Fiesta Bowl game against Central Florida. Hey, he had other things to do. He wants to get ready for the NFL Combine. I'm sure he was out doing sprints, doing lifts, working on his shuttle run time. He was out preparing for his NFL career. He didn't have time to go play in the Fiesta Bowl. He couldn't be bothered with playing against UCF. He had other things to take care of. But there's no question, Greedy Williams, one of the top defensive backs in the country this year, he is our pick for defensive back of the year. Now, we move on to head coaches. The guys that lead young men. The ones that make you believe, even when things look grim. The ones that push you past the point you didn't even think you could get that far. You didn't think you could be that good of a player, But these coaches somehow pulled that out of you. So this year, 2018, who could be our Daily Dose College Football Coach of the Year? And I mean, one guy that comes to mind immediately, obviously, Clemson's Dabo Swinney, he just keeps winning. He is doing things we didn't think were possible. And specifically, he is doing things at Clemson we didn't think were possible. Just a few years back, we were talking about Clemson and saying, they're never going to be anything. I don't know who's going to be good. I don't know who's going to be the next big thing. But I know this. It isn't going to be Clemson. That's for sure. That's what everyone was saying. If you want to go beat Alabama or Clemson, go find the next Dabo Swinney, because this guy has figured some things out. He is definitely in consideration for our coach of the year. And I know it didn't end that well for him, but I mean, we do still have to talk about Alabama's Nick Saban, don't we? I mean, he is winning games down at Bama at a crazy rate. And I know we all kind of sit there and we just kind of dismiss what he's done at Alabama. Well, yeah, he's doing it at Alabama, but Alabama's always been a football factory. No, they haven't. There were some really lean years before Nick Saban got there. It wasn't an automatic thing that they just went to the national title game every year. They didn't even get to the SEC title game every year. They were getting beat by the LSUs and the Arkansas and teams like that before Nick Saban got there. So while I know, yes, Nick Saban is in maybe the perfect spot for him because it is a football factory. Hey, it wasn't a football factory a few years before he got there. We were wondering what had happened to Alabama. Remember Alabama? Didn't they used to be good in football in like, I don't know, the 50s or something under Bear Bryant? Nick Saban still is one of the top coaches in the country. And you know, what about a guy like Army head coach Jeff Munkin and what he did at West Point? Don't forget, I know we see the bowl game and they beat Houston 70-14, and that's really impressive stuff. But don't forget the season opener when Army almost beat the Oklahoma Sooners in Norman. Remember after that game, they gave Oklahoma all they wanted. The Oklahoma fans stayed and gave a standing ovation to the Black Knights from Army. When has that happened? Especially at Army. But you see a little independent school like that, a little military academy like that, taking some of the best teams in the country to the wire. Hey, Jeff Munkin at Army, I mean, he has done an amazing job at West Point. He is definitely in consideration for our coach of the year. But you know, if you've noticed anything from our awards today so far, you might have noticed a trend with each of our award winners. Yes, they all are excellent players. No question about that. And they all have a very, very good chance of moving on and going to the NFL. And let's be honest, they also are primarily concerned about themselves. They also didn't really put the team first, right? I mean, each one of our award winners so far has gone ahead and said, hey, I'm not going to worry about my team. I've got to take care of myself and make sure I get paid. And I understand it. I've told you before. I get it. I understand why these guys are worried to go play in sometimes these meaningless bowl games. And yet, make no mistake, they have all put their needs above their teams, right? No question about that. Again, it's not so much team as it is about me. So who else could our head coach of the year be? Of course, it has to be Ohio State's Urban Meyer. Because think about some of the things he was doing. Think about the way he protected his assistant coach doing some of the stupidest things we've ever heard. What was the bottom line with Urban Meyer? I'm not going to say anything. That is a friend of mine. Forget doing what's right. Forget about setting an example for the kids and spin it however you want. I am still convinced that what Urban Meyer did and what he had to deal with prior to the season absolutely cost Ohio State a chance to play for the title, because all season, all we could see was that big cloud over Ohio State. And I mean, they're good. They're really talented. They're just not as good as I expected them to be. Like, I thought they'd be a whole lot better, and they're not. And as a result of all that and putting yourself first and not the team first, we're going to go ahead and give our Daily Dose Coach of the Year to Urban Meyer. Hey, coming back, we need to finish off our 2018 college football season end awards. You know, we've still got a few Daily Dose awards to hand out, and we have to hand out our Daily Dose Heisman. Who is going to be our Heisman winner? We're going to get to that when we get back. Okay, so we do have a few more college football awards that we need to hand out to finish out this 2018 college football season. And you know, if there's one thing that we love in sports, and I love specifically, it is cheering for the little guy. It is cheering for the upset. A little school pulling an upset on a bigger, more prestigious school. Honestly, does it get any better than that? You've got to love those underdogs. And we saw a number of them this year. You know, I know a lot of times we think of underdogs more in college basketball because of the little schools that do get into the tournament. But we saw some big time upsets this year in college football. Let's take a look at a few of the games that I considered for best upset of the year. In week three, Brigham Young University, who was a 23.5 point underdog to Wisconsin, beats the Badgers in Madison. And you might remember the missed kick at the end of that game for Wisconsin cost Wisconsin a chance to maybe be a contender this year. A huge upset early on for BYU. In week nine, the Oregon State Beavers didn't just pull off an upset. They did it in spectacular fashion. Oregon State comes from down 28 points to beat the University of Colorado in Boulder. Now, for the record, Oregon State was a 24.5 point underdog in Las Vegas. Hey, crazy upset for Oregon State. And one of the most memorable upsets was back in week four when number 13 Virginia Tech, a 28 point favorite, somehow lost to Old Dominion. I mean, we saw some crazy upsets this year in college football. So who is our pick for college football upset of the year? Well, I actually think this could end up being an ESPN 30 for 30. Are you ready? What if I told you that an undefeated college football team was beaten in their final game of the season as they made a push for a back-to-back title? But wait, what if I also told you that the school that pulled off the upset had just 45,000 students in their enrollment, and they actually beat out the school in the United States with the largest student enrollment in the country, because the team that got beat has the most students in the USA. They have a crazy 57,000 students in their student population. I mean, this is crazy, right? Can you imagine an upset like that? Well, it actually took place. It took place this year at the end of the season. No, I'm not actually talking about Clemson beating Alabama. I'm talking about LSU knocking off tiny little Central Florida. Central Florida has the biggest student population in the country. Somehow, LSU pulled together. They stopped Central Florida's bid to win back-to-back make-believe titles. It's got to be the upset of the year. Not even close. Got a few more awards to hand out here. You know, we give out the Notre Dame Award every year to the team that was the highest ranked prior to the season and then proved to have no reason whatsoever for that high ranking. And I know it's really tempting to hand that award to Notre Dame this year for making the playoff when their schedule, it just wasn't that strong. And honestly, it wasn't their fault. The schedule looked good. It wasn't like they scheduled a bunch of garbage teams, but USC, Stanford, Virginia Tech, and Florida State, they all ended up being a lot worse than usual. So Notre Dame was ranked number 12 going into the season. Honestly, that feels about right to me. So no, we're not going to give the Notre Dame Award to Notre Dame. We're actually going to give it to the University of Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin started the season ranked number 4 in the country. I mean, who could blame anyone for putting them that high? They returned their offensive line. They returned running back Jonathan Taylor. And they were good. They just weren't great. And Wisconsin lost to every good team they played. Plus, they also lost to BYU, like we mentioned a few minutes ago. And they lost to Northwestern. Wisconsin finished 8-5. And after being ranked number 4 in the country to start the year, they finished the year completely unranked. Next award up is the Dan Hawkins Award. And you know, we hand this award out every year to the head coach that has like a limited amount of success. And they translate that into a job that they're probably not even deserving of. And originally, I was going to give this to Baylor head coach Matt Rhule because Rhule took Baylor to a 7-6 record after he rebuilt that mess that Art Briles left at Baylor. And Rhule was being talked about maybe for an NFL job, but he hasn't gotten one yet. So we have to give this to Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury, who went from going 35 and 40 in six seasons at Texas Tech to somehow now being the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals in the NFL. How? I have no idea. In his time at Lubbock, Kingsbury's defense averaged being ranked 108th in the country over those six seasons. Yeah, I'm sure that won't come back to haunt the Arizona Cardinals at all. Good luck with all that. Finally, we have our Daily Dose Heisman Award, and we know the Heisman Award is supposed to go to the top player in all of college football, right? Well, I mean, that's who it's supposed to go to. We know that's not who it does go to. We give it to the top quarterback on the top ranked team, unless that quarterback like slips up in a national game, and then we give it to the next highest quarterback on the top ranked team. But if I am giving this award, the Daily Dose Heisman, to the best player in the country, honestly, I'm not going to give it to a quarterback. Sorry. I'm not. Name one of these quarterbacks right now that would be the top draft pick in the NFL draft. It wouldn't happen. And as a result, I'm not going to go there for the Heisman. I am going to give the Daily Dose Heisman to the player I think is the best player in college football this year. And I'm going to give it to Kentucky linebacker Josh Allen, the best pass rusher in the country. In 2017, Josh Allen had 7 sacks. He had 10.5 tackles for loss. Then this past offseason, he puts on 10 to 15 pounds through work, hard work, added muscle. He comes out this year. He has 17 sacks. He has 18.5 tackles for loss. He was completely unblockable. I'm telling you right now, Kentucky's Josh Allen is going to be a top 5 pick in the NFL draft. And I'm pretty sure he's going to be taken higher than any of the quarterbacks that were Heisman finalists this year. And we know how NFL scouts love to draft quarterbacks way too early. I don't think it matters. Josh Allen, I believe, was the best player in college football this year, so he wins our Daily Dose Heisman Trophy. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be looking at some of the top sports stories that are coming out. Plus, we will have our weekend sports preview, going to be a few things you're going to want to make sure that you watch this weekend. And we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. I know we haven't had a new Top 5 in a few weeks now. The Daily Dose Top 5 will return tomorrow, so you know you need to tune in for that. Have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose each and every day. Thank you for the feedback, for the questions, and the suggestions. And thank you so much for sharing the show. It is very appreciated. Hey, make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Pick up some Daily Dose gear so you can advertise for us that way. That'd be very, very nice and giving of you. So make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday.